Hi, this is Bill Woods up here in Sun Valley, Arizona. I'm trying to record this podcast on a laptop computer that I'm not familiar with. I'm sorry that last week I wasn't able to get the podcast out to you, but God's doing some miracles. I've had at least one lady in Portland, Oregon send me money to get a new computer, and we're going to be working on that right away, and so we'll be able to get these podcasts out. Today I want to say resentment is a killer. Matthew chapter 6 verses 14 and 15, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. The insides of a cat were being watched through a fluoroscope in a college science laboratory. As the professor put it in layman's terms, this cat's inside machinery was working just like a sewing machine. The food was being taken in, deposited in the stomach, and progressing in keeping with the digestive processes of the cat. Then, through the door, was brought a dog that the cat was known to dislike. The outward effect was seen immediately. The cat's back began to bow. His fur rose, his eyes dilated, and he began to hiss and put up a horrible fuss. Something began to happen on the inside of the cat, too. The digestive processes began slowing down, and finally they stopped altogether. The professor turned to the class in a dead seriousness and said, "If resentment does that to cats, what do you think it does to human beings?" Resentment does work like that. Everything goes along fine until resentment develops, and suddenly everything grinds to a halt. Most people who harbor resentment don't understand the price they pay for their feelings. Friendships are broken, jobs are lost, homes demoralized, psychosomatic illnesses develop, personality grows brittle and unbending. Resilience and flexibility are lost from the personality, and emotions become unstable. Energies which might have brought productive things into life are turned inward, and productivity drops. Effectiveness dwindles. All of this comes from resentment. It's the worst disease of the mind. Resentment can come from a variety of situations involving a perceived wrong, whether real or imagined, done to us, which bring feelings of injustice or humiliation. Common sources of resentment include public humiliation, such as accepting negative treatment without voicing any protest, being an object of discrimination or prejudice, envy, jealousy, feeling used to taken advantage of by others, and having our achievements go unrecognized while others succeed without working as hard. We bury the emotion, paste on a smile, and let it fester. Resentment can also come when I feel emotionally rejected or denied by another person, being deliberately embarrassed or belittled by another person, or being ignored, put down, or scorned by another person. Often resentment begins early, as in the case of children who are unequipped emotionally to respond otherwise to the divorce of the parents. What are the effects of resentment? Resentment is strongest when it's felt towards someone we felt close to or intimate with. To have an injury resulting in resentful feelings inflicted by a friend or loved one makes us feel betrayed as well as resentful. And these feelings can have deep effects. I remember when we were in Pullman, Washington, there was some kind of a problem that had come up in the church, and everybody was saying, "Well, we don't know what the problem is. Maybe it's something the pastor's done," and it was not. But there was one lady that I had helped her family quite a bit, and I thought, well, surely she would come to the rescue and say, "No, I don't think the pastor's involved in any of this." But instead, she took the "I'm not going to take sides" route. And it irritated me, because after all we had done, for her to take that route just didn't seem very grateful. Resentment is emotionally debilitating if left unresolved. It can cause a variety of negative results, including touchiness or edginess, when we think of the person we resent. We can deny our anger or hatred against this person and yet be provoked to anger when this person is given positive recognition. Resentment can have long-term effects like developing a hostile, cynical, sarcastic attitude that will splash over into other areas, usually healthy relationships, lack of personal emotional growth, difficulty in self-disclosure, trouble trusting others, loss of self-confidence, and overcompensation. What's interesting is resentment doesn't have any direct negative effects on the person we resent. I mean, most of the time they could care less, except for the deterioration of our relationship with them. To further compound these negative effects, resentment works in a downward spiral. Our resentful feelings cut off communication between us and the person we feel has wronged us, which results in future miscommunications and the development's further resentful feelings. Resentment has the unique quality of being almost exclusively internalized, where it can do further emotional and psychological damage, but doesn't impact the person being resented. So people just hang on to their resentment because they feel they're justified to feel the way they do. But justified or not, nobody who wants to be happy and productive in life can afford to hold on to resentment. It's an acid that destroys the container, and you are the container. If you're filled with resentment and bitterness, it's going to destroy you. No person in the Bible was more justified in harboring resentment than Joseph. He could have fought back, perhaps just sulked in self-pity or floundered trying to use other ineffective defense mechanisms. He did the only thing any strong person does. He rose above the people, the circumstances, the places which might have provoked resentment within him. You remember his story. His brothers had rejected him. His boss's wife had lied about him and had him thrown in the prison. The butler promised to remember him, but didn't. Besides all that, he wasted precious time in prison serving time for a crime that he hadn't committed. How do you stop resentment from taking over? What's the cure for resentment if it's already made its inroads into your mind and life? Well, there's three suggestions. One, become aware of the causes of resentment. There's usually not one, but several causes for resentment. Resentment is a form of anger which grows out of jealousy, feelings of hostility, and feelings of frustration. Frustration at our own inadequacies during a time of injustice. You know, how many times has somebody said something and you thought later, well, I wished I'd have given back that response. You know, you didn't think of it right at the same time they were saying whatever they were saying that was cutting. But later you said, oh, I wished I would have thought to say that back. I don't know how many times I have rehearsed something that I should have said and didn't get out. In Joseph's case, he was, first of all, a rejected teenager. At 17, he was sold by his brothers. And this was because his dad had shown so much partiality, given him the robe of many colors. And it was unwholesome what Jacob did to him. But this created animosity from his brothers. And so he was coming out to bring them a care package, and they saw him coming and they dug a pit, threw him in it, and sold him into slavery. And he was cheated out of his childhood. He was given a severe injustice in the lie told about him by Potiphar's wife. She thought he was quite a fox, and she wanted him to have an affair with her, and he ran and she framed him, and he was put in jail because of it. He was forgotten by a good friend whom he had helped. And lastly, he was frustrated by being stuck in jail at a time when his life should have been lived at its fullest during his youth. Then number two, resentment, which begins with a specific experience, can become diffused and spread out to tarnish everything life touches. In his book, Lee, The Last Years, Charles Braceland Flood reports that after the Civil War, Robert E. Lee visited the Kentucky lady who took him to the remains of a grand old tree in front of her house. There she bitterly cried that its limbs and trunk had been destroyed by federal artillery fire. She looked to Lee for a word of condemning the North, or at least sympathizing with her loss. But after a brief silence, Lee said, "Cut it down, my dear madam, and forget it. It's better to forgive the injustice of the past than to allow them to remain. Let bitterness take root and poison the rest of our life." I heard about a college girl who let her resentment to her dad because he had done something that had hurt her. She let it ruin her college career. She let it ruin her friendships. She let it splash over into her marriage. She let it ruin her raising of her children. Well, all she needed to do really was just turn that over to God and allow him to cleanse that out. You know, life isn't lived in compartments. People who are resentful in one part of life will either handle the resentment immediately or it will spread into other areas of life. Resentment that crops up on the job or in the home or at church or in social relationships will soon spread like gangrene to all areas of our lives and destroy our happiness. Only radical surgery by the Holy Spirit can restore life to be what it's supposed to be. Number three, resentment can be cured only by our own willingness to receive the cleansing of the Holy Spirit. A person may rationalize his problem of resentment by believing his feelings are justified because of some injury he suffered. He may further excuse himself on the grounds that resentment is a problem everybody faces. Psychologist James J. Messina recommends 5 steps to facing and resolving resentful feelings. 1, he says, identify the source of the resentful feelings and what the person did to cause these feelings. 2, he says, develop a new way of looking at past, present, and future life, including how resentment has affected your life and how letting go of resentment can improve your future. 3, he said, write a letter to the one you feel resentment against, listing the offenses and explaining the circumstances. Then forgive and let go of the offenses, but do not send the letter. 4, think about a future without a negative impact of resentment. 5, if resentful feelings still linger, return to step 1 and begin again, which, if you remember, was identify the source of the resentful feelings and what the person did to cause these feelings. You know, this doesn't change the fact that resentment is sin. Because the consequences of resentful feelings, they're dangerous to live with and need to be dealt with. Resentment is an obstacle to restoring good relations among people and must be handled and expunged by introspection and forgiveness. There's no adequate solution for sin except forgiveness and cleansing. I'd remind you that 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, too many have let the problem fester. I was reading one time about convicted killer Wesley Dodd, who was vicious. And the reason he turned out to be so vicious and killed so many people, women and all, was because he said his dad ignored him, wouldn't come to his concerts, and wouldn't do things that would help him to know that his dad loved him. And he just was so angry, he just struck out and began hurting people. Jim Corbett, the great explorer and hunter in Africa, wrote the book Man-Eaters of Cumanon. And he said, man-eating tigers are that way because of some kind of injury that has festered and made it impossible to run fast enough to hunt down other animals. And so they go only after very slow man. He said he was hired to go to a village and kill a man-eating tiger. And he said he was waiting at night one night, and the tiger was coming into the village, and every step the tiger took, he heard it moan. and he knew there was something wrong. So he hunted down the tiger and he killed it, and he found out what had happened was there's a big thorn that had festered in his forefoot, and that was keeping him from being able to run fast enough to get his food to other sources, and so he began killing people and eating them. You know, resentment is sin. God cures sin when we confess it to him. Why would you continue to let this emotional cancer eat you when God has the cure? I read in philosophy class, years and years ago when I was in college, about the Stoics. And, you know, they didn't show emotion. They didn't show any kind of feeling at all. And there was this one Stoic boy that he stole a fox, and he was taken into court, and he was standing there denying that he stole the fox. He had the fox tucked up under his robe, and all of a sudden, while he was standing there, he just collapsed and fell on the floor, and they found out that the fox that he had stolen was under his robe, and it had been eating and chewing his entrails the whole time that he was standing there denying the fact that he had the fox. Resentment is like that fox. It eats our vitals just like that fox. A farmer owned an old mule. The mule fell into the well. The farmer heard the mule braying, or whatever mules do when they fall into wells. After carefully assessing the situation, the farmer sympathized with the mule, but decided neither the mule nor the well was worth the trouble of saving. He called his neighbors and told them what had happened. He asked them to help him haul dirt to bury the old mule in the well and put him out of his misery. Well, initially, the mule was hysterical, but as the farmer and his neighbors continued shoveling and the dirt hit his back, a thought struck the mule. Every time a shovel load of dirt landed on his back, he should shake it off and step up. He did this blow after blow. Shake it off and step up. Shake it off and step up. He repeated to himself, shake it off and step up. No matter how painful the blows or distressing the situation, the mule fought the panic and kept right on shaking it off and stepping up. Before long, the mule, battered and exhausted, stepped triumphantly over the wall of that well. What seemed like it would bury him actually blessed him because of how he handled his adversity. You know, that's life. If we face our problems, respond to them positively, and refuse to give in to resentment or panic or bitterness or self-pity, the adversities that come along to bury us usually have within them the potential to benefit and bless us. Remember, forgiveness, faith, prayer, praise, and hope all are excellent ways to shake it off and step up out of the wells in which we find ourselves trapped. Listen, I want to have a word of prayer with you. Dear Father, I just pray that you help each one that's listening to this broadcast today to realize that we cannot harbor resentment, we cannot harbor bitterness without destroying ourselves. Lord, help us to confess any of these emotions, any of these reactions that we have. Help us to confess them to you and allow you to cleanse them, and help us to be the people you want us to be. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I would encourage you, if you want to get in touch with me, my email address is revwmwoods@gmail.com. And my mailing address is Box 4031, Sun Valley, Arizona, 86029. God bless. I hope next week we have the new computer, and I hope things go a whole lot better than they have this week. God bless you all.